This is The Thirsty Developer, episode number 53 for Monday, March 2nd, 2009, migrating to SQL Server 2008. This week we have an interview with George Huey, an architect evangelist with Microsoft. George gives us the ins and the outs of migrating from SQL Server 2000 and 2005 to the new SQL Server 2008. He tells us about a great new tool called the SQL Server 2008 Migration Assistant. Let's listen in. Hi, this is Larry Clark, and I'm recording a podcast on location at Microsoft's Downers Grove, Illinois office. I've run into my friend, George Huey. George, can you say hi to everybody?
Hello, everybody. I hope you're all doing well today.
And George, what is it that you do for Microsoft?
I am an architect evangelist, so I go around talking to people about solution architecture, how they can use the Microsoft platform to solve business problems, and also work with SQL Server and Windows 7 and bunch of all the latest and upcoming technologies that are coming out.
Yeah, and you've been rather busy lately, specifically talking to people about SQL Server 2008, right?
That's correct. I've been working with the SQL Server product group, coming up with an upgrade process. And we had a bunch of labs across the U.S. In taking customer actual customer databases, taking them into the Microsoft sites, and actually upgrading from SQL Server 2000 and 2005 to SQL Server 2008, going through that full process.
So this is it's interesting. SQL Server 2008 shipped, you know, midsummer, you know, last year. And we have never talked about it on the Thirsty Developer. And that's why I thought, you know, hey, this would be a good opportunity to talk about one of the most important things in the developer platform, you know, is the database.
The heart of your system.
Right. You know, it's, there's an old Dilbert joke that maybe I'll find, you know, a link to the original comics that's like, you know, the little interns going, we've got to have a database. We've got to have a database. It really is an important bedrock part of your application. And, but SQL Server 2008 has been out so long, and we haven't had a chance to talk about it. So I thought when you told me that you, have been involved in this upgrade process, that you'd come on the show, you know, share with your thoughts, you know, on the platform itself and how people are upgrading to it. So let's first talk about, you know, SQL Server 2008 just in general. Why, you know, what's new? What's hot about it? What's interesting? You know, why should people consider that?
A whole bunch of things that are is very interesting, and it really depends on your role. You know, are you a DBA? Because there's new management features that allow you to manage not only your SQL Server 2008 box, but also set policies for other SQL Server boxes so that they can conform, you know, for password management or for any other kind of thing. So management, a big, big thing.
So some enterprise features that make it
enterprise features
much, much more friendly for the enterprise data.
Right. So it would lower your TCO, you know, per se. Then also there's things like if you're looking at a server consolidation. In other words, I got 15 databases out here. I want to be able to bring them down to one server, and I want to be able to govern, you know, how much resources, you know, that this guy uses CPU versus this other instance uses CPU. I can basically combine those databases in this one instance, and then I can say, well, this guy gets 50% CPU, this guy gets 20% CPU, this guy gets 30% CPU. So it's a great governing a resource, again, for server consolidation.
And that's very important because, you know, instancing in multiple databases, you know, on a box has been around with SQL Server for a while. Matter of fact, the whole instance structure, came in the SQL Server 2000 timeframe, as I recall. And, you know, we haven't had, you know, those extra tools, you know, that make a shared environment really fully rich.
Right. Because part of the problems that you had there is if you got two different servers and you try to combine them to one server, and of course you got a nasty runaway query on one, he might take your other, you know, database down because he's sucking up all the CPU. Well, now I can govern that and say, well, this
no matter
database,
what he does,
or what it is, he's only going to get, you know, 20%, 30%, or whatever you want to have as far as CPU goes. And it makes it a lot easier to consolidate databases.
And that's definitely a DBA feature. I mean, I know, mm-hmm. I know that, you know, our audience is primary developers and architects.
Yeah. Which is where my heart is at as well.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of DBAs, but I noticed that there's this chasm between, you know, the dev team and the DBAs, you know, from a DBA's perspective is always the code is bad, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're a developer, the problem is, you know, the structure of the database limits what you're able to do. Mm-hmm. But that sounds like a necessary tool, you know, for that shared environment. And consolidation has a lot of benefits because it can lower your cost, mm-hmm. you know, of, you know, your database.
Yeah. But from a developer standpoint, I think
the good stuff.
My most favorite new feature in SQL Server 2008 is the tabled value parameters. Basically what it allows me to do is it allows me to define a schema for a table inside a SQL Server. And then I can create an instance of that table in like a stored procedure or in some kind of T-SQL code. And I can say I want to create this instance of this table, which is already predefined. I can add 20 rows to it, and then I can pass that parameter to another stored procedure. Or if I'm in C# or in my middle tier, I can create my table value parameter table, and I can basically add 10, 15 rows to it, and I can pass it as a parameter to a stored procedure. Thus, I only make one call versus making 20 round trips, right?
Oh,
so you save in performance a whole bunch by and you can strong type it. And anyway, it's absolutely fantastic. If you get a chance to play with it, it's my most favorite thing, I think.
Yeah, because you're keeping a lot of traffic off the wire in that instance. Yeah, that's a cool one.
Yeah. There's another one that's Merge, which is new with SQL Server 2008. I don't know how many developers out there have put in queries, say, if row exists, then update, else insert kind of concept. Well, with merge, you can say merge source table on destination table, and if match, do this. If not match on source, do this, else delete. So there's a whole merge upsert statement that's also new. And then you've got spatial parameters or spatial data, which if you have, say I'm a doctor, and I got a patient, and I got cancer, I can actually put spatial coordinates on my patient to locate where these things are at, store this data in my database. Or if I MapQuest or somebody else where I've got addresses of homes and I want to have the longitude, latitude kind of stuff set up, all this stuff is now built into SQL Server, makes it a lot easier for querying and other kinds of stuff. So that's pretty cool.
So this is the location-aware concept. And I've been messing around with some mapping stuff.
Oh, okay.
And one of the things that's been driving me crazy is that each platform, and I use the word platform kind of, you know, loosely, kind of has its own way of defining coordinates, longitude, and latitude. You know, for instance, you know, and I'll mention, you know, a very popular device right now is the iPhone, how it stores location information in EXIF data, you know, on JPEGs is different than, you know, if you look up longitude and latitude in, you know, a mapping platform like Virtual Earth. And what's nice about the SQL Server implementation is it says, hey, we'll deal with that. Just give us whatever. As long as it's a reasonable one, we'll translate it to a common store. So if you're looking at a mashup that takes data from a lot of different sources that may have things, you know, ordered differently, it's going to figure those things out.
Right. And what else is pretty neat, when you query the database, you get your data back. It's in XML format so that I can basically interoperate with Virtual Earth or other kind of stuff where I can say, I can query, get my data back, pass my XML string over to Virtual Earth, and it'll plot out my coordinates for me or show me my Taco Bell restaurants, for example, all over the city.
And you know, as we've said before in the show, if it's XML, it's got to be good, right? You can do no wrong with XML.
That's right.
So that's some of the new things, you know, in SQL Server 2008. And one of the things that you didn't mention was the fact that, and one of the reasons I like SQL Server 2008 a lot is, you know, I work with a lot of, you know, demos and sample applications that I show to people. Virtually every one of the applications that I use on a day-in, day-out basis worked in SQL Server 2005. When I installed them on SQL Server 2008, it just kind of worked. There's a, you know, a very low friction upgrade for most applications.
It's extremely low. Basically, in the labs that we did across the U.S., we did 130-something customer databases in the upgrade process. And for the most part, I would say 90% or 95% was very smooth. No problems encountered whatsoever. The other ones were simple things like the old T-SQL style joins, where I would say, where column asterisk equals another column, which is like left outer join or a right outer join.
Right.
Whereas with the ANSI style SQL, you say left outer join or you say right outer join in the syntax. And so there is really just an old style SQL that, is no longer supported. And of course, SQL Server has been really good about, telling you what has been deprecated over the years.
Right.
And so, but those are really just minor things that you need to fix, but nothing really big.
And if you've got an old application like that, that, you know, uses the, you know, the old ghetto style mm-hmm. joins, it's, if you run into that problem, you do a quick query on it, that one's going to pop right up. It's not like there's some, you know, really funky things that happen in some situations and don't happen in other ones.
Right.
And in the case of the where clause joins, you know, that's probably something you should have cleaned up years ago.
Exactly. And then also what's really cool about the upgrade process is that it goes through and uses SQL Upgrade Advisor, which really goes in and looks at your stored procedures, looks at all your objects inside your database, and it will tell you before you do the upgrade, oh, hey, you got this problem that you need to look at. And if, and most times it's like a potential problem.
Right.
That you need to look at and you can resolve it before or after. If there's anything that's really like a sore thumb that points out, then SQL Upgrade Advisor will flag it red saying you got to fix this before you do the upgrade process.
And that's a separate tool from SQL Server 2008, right?
Right. It's a separate tool. But actually, if you have the 2008 CD, you'll see that there's a install upgrade advisor.
Okay.
And then the upgrade advisor will then, you point it to your database. Now, the labs that I have been talking about, we use something, Microsoft basically contracted out to scalability experts to create a tool called SQL Server Upgrade Assistant.
Okay.
All right. And what it does is it takes you through a methodical upgrade process.
So this is different from the advisor.
Right.
This is an assistant. Okay.
Right. So this assistant takes you through a process of upgrading your database. Now it uses Upgrade Advisor as part of that process.
Okay.
All right. And so the first thing that it does is it basically, when you install the Upgrade Assistant, it asks you what database you want to upgrade, and then you point to your legacy database. Now, note here that my advice to most people is, right, don't run this against your production database.
Right.
A lot of shops have a test and QA environment or a dev environment, and you run it against there. Now, what's really cool, if you have a good development shop, you got good test QA processes set up, and the whole thing that you want to do here is you want to run your test suite against your database. You're not really looking at load testing, like running the same query 10,000 times.
Right.
You want to run as many different queries as your application runs, right? If you can cover 100% of all your queries and inserts and all this other kind of stuff that comes against your database, then that is the best possible thing to go, right? If you only cover 80% or 90%, well, you know,
so
that's your coverage.
This is much more of a, not a load, but a coverage kind of thing.
A coverage kind of, right. Because what you want to do is you want to find out, does this statement against SQL Server 2000 work against SQL Server 2008? Right? And by the way, it is very, very much a thing to do is to go from SQL Server 2000 to 2008. You do not have to make the misstep of going to 2005 if you don't want to.
Yeah, and we'll come back to that, I think, because I've got some specific questions about you know, where people are at. But this upgrade assistant,
mm-hmm.
you know, it will actually, you know, go through the process where you're going to grab a copy of your production data,
right?
But you don't want to. But George's advice is not to run that in the production
on your production
environment,
right?
Because if nothing else, you know, some of these transactions could, mm-hmm. you know. If they're good test transactions, they're going to change the data, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah. One of the things that it does is it basically backs up your databases at the very beginning.
Okay.
All right. So when I point to my legacy database that I want to upgrade, it does a backup of the master, the MSDB, of all my databases there. And then the next thing it lets me do is it lets me establish – as soon as it's done backing up, it starts SQL Profiler to capture – all SQL transactions against your database.
Okay.
All right. At that point in time, once I'm backed up, I'm at a known point in time on my database. Then I start my test suite and I run all through all of my SQL commands against my database.
And if you've got a good set of unit tests with your application, you probably got these tests sitting there ready to go, right?
Yes.
If you have good code coverage there, it should cover most of the database too, right?
Correct.
So you could probably just pull up something you've already got and run up against it. You might want to throw in some transactions that there's always that outlier transaction that, like, we run this once a month, mm-hmm. you know, as part of mm-hmm. an audit process. You might want to do those kind of things
right.
too.
Right. Yeah. Right. But again, your testing QA should have all that set up where it runs through that whole suite of tests. When your test QA stuff finishes, then you tell SQL Upgrade Assistant.
Yeah.
That, hey, I'm done. And it says, okay, and it closes out the trace file. So now I have in a physical file all of your commands that you ran against your database. So the next thing that we want to do, or next thing that it takes you through, is it lets you restore your database to another SQL Server 2000 or 2005 instance. And then you can run your replay against that database to verify that it works. Plus also at this point in time, it'll tell you to run the SQL Upgrade Advisor. And when you run the Upgrade Advisor, it says, what database do you want me to evaluate? As well as if you have a trace file with all the SQL commands in it, it'll evaluate that too.
Okay.
So you can point it to the trace file that you just created, because a lot of times what you're going to see is that SQL Server Upgrade Advisor can look in the database and it can look at your stored procedures and other kind of stuff. But if you have dynamic SQL in your C# VB code, it can't analyze that. But since you ran your test suite and it's now captured all those commands in the trace file, it can now be analyzed by the Upgrade Advisor.
I was going to say,
and
that's
it can tell
cool.
you, hey, you got this query with these bad joins over here or something else. So it you know what to look for.
Because if the advisor is just looking at your current state schema, mm-hmm. it's only going to tell you what's in there.
Right.
You know, and this, it may be the situation where you think, no, we do everything through stored procedures. Somebody may have stuck a piece of dynamic SQL in there, you know, unbeknownst mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that you'd need analyzed also, because that's where that old school join could be.
Right.
It could be buried in some code library that you didn't mm-hmm. know about.
Right. So this gives you the best of both worlds. It gives you your database and anything external to your database that might come up. It would catch it and then would do the evaluation and tell you, hey, this is good or not good or whatever. And so then once you do your replay against your baseline, which is what you reestablished, and you verify, hey, I did back up my database properly. My SQL commands do run properly against my database.
Right.
Then you can also do another restore to another instance. And this time you upgrade that instance. So now I got a baseline and I got an upgrade instance. So I'll say, for example, I got SQL Server 2000. And then I restore it to SQL Server 2000, and I do upgrade in place of SQL Server 2000 and 2008. I then can run my replay against that. Now, since I did my replay, create an output file of the results of the transaction SQL against your database. So I should have an output file from my trace file against SQL Server 2000 and a trace file output of my SQL Server 2008 execution, and the SQL Server Upgrade Assistant will do a diff against those two, and it will tell you, oh, here at this spot, this command works successfully, but on this server, it didn't work successfully.
Right.
And so then, not only do you have the advisor telling you what's going on, but the assistant is doing the diff between the outputs of your run, and you can actually see, oh, yeah, here it says, I got privilege violations, or I've got something else wrong that might not have converted over properly.
It allows you to focus on the things that are busticated, right?
Exactly.
And that could be something that if you didn't do this methodical process mm-hmm. where you start from the same baseline, do the before and after test, that you could have missed something and maybe weeks before you discover it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, again, to me, the whole thing here is test, test, test.
Right.
And this takes you through a methodical process. And if you got a good test QA suite, you can pretty much walk up to your management when you're done and say, I know that our database runs very well on SQL Server 2008 because we did our test QA process. We did the diff between the machines over here. They both ran exactly the same upgrade complete.
Your confidence level is really high.
Oh, there. Yes, exactly.
And you've done this process. You mentioned it before, you know, with 130 customers. Mention that for a second, that you actually took the real databases,
right?
Not empty schemas or something like that. You actually had them, you know, bring their real databases on site to do this kind of thing. The interesting thing was that you described a pretty, you know, pretty methodical process, you know, a lot of checkpoints, a lot of tests and all that. All these labs were done in 2 days.
Yes.
Right? So if somebody was saying, you know, hey, I want to do this testing myself, 2 days is probably a good amount of time to set aside. Of the 130 customers, how many of them were completely done at the end of the 2 days?
I would say pretty much all of them.
Pretty much all, okay.
The secret here is that when you're creating your tests, you're testing QA stuff, what I found was that if you try to do load testing, say for example, I'm going to run this set of scripts 15,000 times against my database, my trace file is going to end up being 2, 3, 4, 5 gigabytes long, right? Now, when you're running in a parallel mode, but when you're doing a replay, SQL Profiler replays it in a synchronous mode. And what you're going to find is that you'll find that it might take 10, 24, 48 hours, depending on stuff, to go through
a 30-minute load test could take you 2 days.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely, because you have a huge trace file. And that's another reason why I say don't run against production, because if you're a high-volume retail site that's doing 25,000 transactions per second and you run for 30 minutes, you can imagine the number of SQL statements you're going to have in your trace file. And once again, if you prove that a specific update or delete or select works one time, proving that it works 1,000 times more isn't going to gain you that much, because you already know, hey, it works.
Yeah, the underload's not going to change the situation
right,
that much.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, I think most of the underload issues are things that happen on the server, not necessarily in the database backend anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, race conditions and things like that.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, customers doing this themselves, because these labs that you did were phenomenal, and I've heard secondhand from a lot of people that, you know, everybody who went there was extremely satisfied. Again, I think it's really telling that at the end of 2 days, pretty much everybody was done with their conversion and very confident in it. You know, you told me before we started recording that, hey, they don't have to go to this Microsoft lab to do this stuff. They could do all this stuff on their own site.
On premise, exactly correct. If you go to scalabilityexperts.com, you'll find the SSUA, which is SQL Server Upgrade Assistant, package and documentation there on the site. And there's two of them. There's one that goes from SQL Server 2000 to 2005, and then they got one that goes from 2000 and 2005 to 2008. So I would recommend, you know, getting the latest one, which takes either SQL Server 2000 or SQL Server 2005 and takes you through the upgrade process to SQL Server 2008. Now you pull those down, and then you got a document, and the document tells you exactly what you need to do, and it walks you step by step by step, and just follow that document and follow the advice, and you'll find it is quite simple.
And if people go to thirstydeveloper.com in the show notes for this show, we'll actually put a link in there so people can go, you know, to it, you know, so they can get access to
that. They can find it, right.
And a good rule of thumb is, as long as you dedicate some resources to it, you know, 2 days is a good, you know, test time to set aside. You know, you mentioned doing it in your QA environment. That's very important. So you'd have to make sure that you could schedule the time, you know, in your QA or test environment to do that. Switching the topic just a little bit. People are looking at, they have an installation of either SQL Server 2000 or 2005. There's a couple of ways that you can actually upgrade the server. You know, having been through this on my own system, you know, I know that it gives you a choice of the in-place upgrade, or I can, you know, and this is kind of the way that I would lean. I'm going to ask you your opinion on this, you know, of, you know, let's create a new instance and then let's move things over. I think that there's a lot of, it depends on the answer, because how new is the hardware? What's the state of the server? You know, all that kind of stuff. What would your recommendations be on an in-place upgrade versus a deploying on a new hardware?
Right. A lot of cases of what I see, personally, I like the side-by-side upgrade. Because if you do an in-place upgrade, and if you're not in a testing QA environment, and something happens in midway through and it blows up, God forbid, there's no way to roll back. All right.
So the oops factor is very high.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's like, you're just hosed unless
at that point you're rebuilding the environment and pulling stuff off of the tapes that you had when you started with.
Exactly. Right. So I always was kind of scary about
saying tapes. Do people actually back up the tapes anymore, George?
What are tapes? I'm too young to know that kind of stuff. Anyway, side by side is always a good thing. Now, I also noticed a lot of people have been upgrading from like SQL Server 2000, and they want to go to SQL Server 2008, but they also want to go to 64-bit because they use the old x86 machines, right?
Right.
And now they need more memory and faster processing and so forth. And doing side by side is the only way you can do it at that point in time.
And on the database platform, you know, pretty much 64-bit is just it's free, right?
Right. I mean,
it's free performance that you're going to gain.
Yeah,
right?
Especially if you're memory bound. Oh man, it opens it wide open. But now, what's really cool, a lot of people don't know this, is that I got a SQL Server 2000 database, and I'm running on my x86 machine. I can basically say, go into the SQL Prize Manager and say detach database. Yep. Or I can actually just shut my instance down for a few seconds. I can do a file copy of my database over to my 64-bit machine. And over my 64-bit machine, I got SQL Server 2008 sitting there. I can basically say attach to this database. At the time that I attach that database, it's going to upgrade it to SQL Server 2008. It will leave it in a compatibility mode 8.0 for SQL Server 2000.
Right.
But I'm done. All right. There's nothing special that you need to do as far as conversion from x86 to x64.
Cool.
Right. It just, yeah. You just do a file copy from one machine to the next machine. You attach. You're done.
I've actually done that on my own personal machines. I have one running 64-bit and one running 32-bit, and I've detached, you know, database files, mm-hmm. you know, moved them across mm-hmm. with a USB key. And,
right, yeah. And then attach them. And
so I've done that before, and I've never realized, uh-huh. you know, hey, there's nothing magical about that, right?
Yeah, it's simple. It's just absolutely amazing.
And what you're saying is that the extra leap is that you can do that not only, you know, across the architectures mm-hmm. of 32-bit to 64, but also the version numbers.
Right.
Yeah. I want to talk, you know, a little bit about people at SQL Server 2008. You mentioned that you don't have to do the step up to 2005 and to get to 2008.
Right.
So that's a no brainer, mm-hmm. Right now. I do want to, you know, let people, you know, be aware of the fact if you're running a SQL Server 2000, mm-hmm. now's the time where you really ought to start thinking mm-hmm. about an upgrade. You know, if you're gun shy, SQL Server 2005, you could make the step there and then later go to 2008. Mm-hmm. But since it's supported, you really ought to consider making a jump.
Right.
You know, over that platform.
My personal opinion, you know, this is the George opinion, is I would go from 2000 to 2008, because the processing from 2000 to 2005 or going from 2000 to 2008 is going to be exactly the same. No difference. And you probably find that the stuff that's not going to work from 2000 to 2005 is going to be exactly the same stuff that's not going to work from 2000 to 2008.
Yeah.
If you're still, you know, say, well, my management says I have got to go to 2005, again, what I would look at is making sure that when I do the conversion from 2000 to 2005, if I got to rewrite any of the old T-SQL style stuff, that I make sure that it is compatible with 2008 so that when you go from 2005 to 2008, eventually, it'll be so easy. It'll be just, you know, a new instance, boom, I'm there and I'm running.
Now, let's also talk about, you know, one of the other benefits when we were talking about SQL Server 2008 that you didn't mention mm-hmm. is the fact that it's an improvement over 2005, even if you got like-for-like functionality.
Mm-hmm.
This is important because if you're looking at, you know, hey, I've got SQL 2008, right, and I'm trying to decide between 2005 and 2008, you're going to get additional benefits from a performance and scalability standpoint mm-hmm. just by picking the 2008 platform, right? Are there any metrics on that? You know, I mean, I know we've talked about how much faster it is, but
there is a matrix, I believe, out there. I think for the most part, it's going to depend on what you're doing. And in some cases, you will find definite performance increase, and in some cases, you might not. So it's one of those depends. It depends on what you're trying to do.
So you can't say there's an automatic 20% boost. Right.
So there's no wholesale across the board, you know, boost.
But some operations are a lot faster.
Exactly. Plus, you also got to consider, too, is that there's new features in SQL Server 2008 that might make your life better. For example, say, for example, your current system is I/O bound, right? You got I/O out the roof, you're pegged, and it's a problem. If you take that database, move it to SQL Server 2008, and turn on compression, right? Now I can take, you know, 2, 3, 4 times the amount of records and compress them down into a single page. And then when I'm doing reads and writes, I'm doing half or a third of the reads to, you know, to disk.
The physical I/O.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So my I/O is no longer a problem. And it's the same way with memory and other kind of stuff, right? Since I'm compressing some of this stuff, I'm going to use up a lot less. Now, it is going to have an impact on your CPU, but if CPU is not your bottleneck and it's your I/O, then you're going to get a vast improvement on what you're trying to do.
Right. And it's usually there's three things that bind you: CPU, memory, and I/O. God help you if you hit all three of those at the same time.
Yeah,
where do you go?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You go to your hardware vendor and ask, hey, can I have more, please?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then also is that with Visual Studio 3.0, and then when I want to go to our the .NET Framework 3.0,
right.
And then I want to go to the 3.5, it's the same way with SQL Server 2000 and 2008. It's pretty much 2008 is almost all additive.
Right.
So it's not like I'm changing the core of 2005. It's the same core. It's just what you're already running. And so it's just additive stuff. And if you're upgrading to 2008, your upgrade is pretty much, and it's been proven, is seamless. And then you start taking advantage of the table value parameters that you and I talked about earlier.
Right.
You take advantage of spatial, or you take advantage of sparse tables. Oh, that's another just cool thing is your sparse columns and stuff, right? You start taking advantage of that kind of stuff, you will definitely see performance increase because you're taking advantage of some of the new technologies and other things that SQL Server is built to do. And they got filtered indexes and other kind of things now that are there for you as well.
And we totally forgot to mention encryption of the files, which is pretty much a compliance requirement for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's encryption, and what's nice about that is that that SQL Server will work with third-party key managers for encryption, so you don't have to worry about managing inside SQL Server. It'll work with you if you have your own management. And it's also, there's no code change, right? I don't have to go into my code and change it to do the encryption. It's basically a flip a switch, and it's encrypted.
Yeah, and for people not aware of this, that there are compliance regulations like PCI that require data at rest to be encrypted. So, you know, let's say that it contained personal information about your customers or credit card information, right? That if somebody were to, you know, physically get access to the files on a backup, you know, or, you know, stealing the server or whatever, you know, any of the nefarious ways they could do that, if they just have the files, you know, there's nothing that they can do. I wouldn't say nothing. They could get the NSA to crack the files probably, but, you know, the files are encrypted, you know, so the data is pretty well useless at that point unless SQL Server's up and running.
Mm-hmm.
George, want to wrap up by just asking for additional resources, because I know that you were involved in this great white paper.
Mm-hmm. There is a white paper that was written by the product group, which covers everything about upgrading SQL Server. So if you're running SQL Server 2000 and you have DTS and you want to know what I need to do to get my DTS packages to SSIS, or if I got analysis services, or if I got reporting services. Basically, what we talked about today, the labs and stuff, is for the relational database only.
The core.
Right.
Yeah.
The core system. But if you got the other stuff like analysis services, reporting services, you know, a DTS package or whatever, there is a white paper that's 470 pages big, and it goes into detail on everything about SQL Server. I mean, it's a full-blown book that takes you through the process and talks about things you need to look at and be sure you cover before you begin the upgrade process.
470 pages. But you don't have to read them all, right?
Right.
Because it's by sections. So
it's by sections, yeah. Right. So chapters 1 deals with the relational database. And I forget what the, you know, chapters 4, I think, deals with the relational database. But they got chapters specifically for DTS packages, or chapters specifically for analysis services,
right,
reporting services. So you just find what's pertinent to you, what you need, and then
hopefully. So if you're not using notification services, you just don't even read that chapter.
Right.
But if you want the details about the differences between the versions, this is like, you know,
the Bible for it.
The Bible.
Yes.
And it's free. right?
It's free.
So it's a PDF download. We'll put it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and any other resources you want to point somebody to, a blog or something?
No, I think it's pretty much it. And, but if you look at the white paper, it's got, for every single chapter it goes through and talks about things, it also has links to what it's talking about, to like books online or to some other stuff too. So you've got tons of reference material inside of the book as well.
So it's a pointer to other resources.
So it points to a lot of other resources as well.
Cool. Well, George, thank you for your time today and for sharing your knowledge on the upgrade to SQL Server 2008.
I appreciate your time as well. Thank you. And everybody, you have a good day.
Thanks for listening to The Thirsty Developer. This podcast is available on the Zune Marketplace and the iTunes Music Store. You can also find a link to the feed at thirstydeveloper.com. For general comments on the show or to suggest a topic, send an email to thirstydeveloper@live.com.